Well, good morning. That was beautiful worship, wasn't it? Again, I just those songs, those last two songs level me every time we sing them. And it set me in a good place. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the church. The day of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. Today's that day where we celebrate it. And some of the other denominations around the greater church, they wear red on Pentecost Sunday to symbolize the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to give a shout out to that. So I'm wearing red today. But there's a reason behind it. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and it's when the power came on in the church. It's when the power of the Holy Spirit descended upon the church and empowered the church to go forth. We're here today because of that time in that upper room. We're here today because of that promise that Jesus gave the church so long ago. And I don't know about you, as we think about the concept of power, I have been at places where my wife Melanie would say, hey, would you go to the store? Maybe it's a Walmart or a Giant Eagle, whatever. And I go into the store and I come back out and my car looks fine just sitting there. And then I go and open the door and I put the key in and it's that, it doesn't turn over. And I pump the brakes like that's gonna help. And I hit it again. Nothing. There's no power to my car. And I look at it and I'm like, all right, what do I do? So I, close the door, go out back, get the jumper cables. I encourage you to put jumper cables in your car. If you don't, that's important. I get the jumper cables, and usually there's some like good Samaritan type person, just naturally good, is willing to help you out. And they give me the jump, and then it's like 1, 2, 3, does the click a couple times. And then there's that one, it finally turns over and the power on the car comes back and the worry leaves for a while because like now you have to go get a new battery, But that power on the car is there. It's meant to do what it's meant to do. But there's that time when the car is there. It looks like a car. It has all the workings of car. It got me to the store. But then all of a sudden, it just loses that power. And when we think about that, it can't move without that power, that battery, the gasoline. It can't move with power or purpose without it. And then we think about Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to be today if you have your Bibles. Acts chapter 2 is when the power came on for the church. Acts chapter 2 is when the power came on and into the disciples at Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit descended as Jesus promised. And so this morning, I don't know if you feel powerless or drained or you need a pick-me-up, but here's the great thing, as Aaron mentioned today, we're singing about the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and that's what we want to do. We want to have the power come into us. But before the disciples, at Pentecost, they had walked with Jesus. We think about that. They had walked with Jesus for so long. They encountered his teachings. They experienced him doing healings publicly and privately. So they saw everything that Jesus was about. They witnessed miracles and walking on water. Could you imagine what that must have been like? Oh, I would have loved to have been there. And then they experienced the resurrection. They went through the events of Holy Week and the triumphal entry. Then they went through and experienced Jesus going to the cross. And then there was the resurrection where he appeared to them and how that impacted them. But Jesus yet still told them to do what? He told them to wait. He said to wait. And I don't know about you, I don't like to wait. I'm the guy that stands in front of the microwave when I'm heating up a cup of coffee, right? I don't like to wait, and most people don't like to wait. But I imagine the disciples were anxious for the Holy Spirit to come. What was this thing that they're talking about, that Jesus was talking about all those times? And so they were waiting for that power. The church was this. Listen, the church was never meant to run on human ability alone. It was never meant to be that. The church was never meant to be just like human abilities and function alone, and that was it. But it was meant to move with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it was meant to do. The church all along, God's ideal and grand design for the church and to use his disciples and followers was meant to have Holy Spirit power to go out. And I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit. I've been in ministry 30 years. I don't know if I would have made it without the Holy Spirit to sustain me, to help me, to encourage me when others didn't. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. And so Pentecost Sunday means the world to me. And I say that because it is the birth of the church, and I believe in the church, and I realize there's a tension here. The American church has sometimes fumbled the ball. The American church has hurt people. And you, maybe that's you this morning, but it's still the bride of Christ. It's still the vehicle which God chose to use as the outpost of heaven to proclaim the good news. It's when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, it was for his followers to hear and receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled, and we're going to talk about this word, to be empowered. Say empowered. Thank you. You're there. You're awake. I love it. And so they, the disciples, they had knowledge, they had conviction, and you have calling. But here's the thing. They needed that power. John Wesley describes, I don't have a slide for this, Joe. You can go back to the beginning. But the Holy Spirit, when we think about what the Holy Spirit is and who the person of the Holy Spirit is, some of us just think of like just Catholic theology, or this when you pray the sign of the cross. Some of you might just like think of it's a this good idea, but identifying and defining the work and who the person of the Holy Spirit is, the third person of the Trinity, it matters. And so as Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, God gives us this dunamis, this dynamic explosive power that comes. One of my heroes of the faith is John Wesley. He describes the transformative work of the Holy Spirit, meaning when the Holy Spirit comes and it's in a person, it transforms them. Have you been transformed by the Holy Spirit? John Wesley says this. There's not a quote, just listen. It says this: the Holy Spirit enlightens our understanding, rectifies or strengthens our will and our affections. It renews our nature and unites us with Christ. Wow, that's an amazing definition of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say this: it assures us of our adoption as God's children. That's the one that matters a lot to me. It assures us as God's children, guides our actions and our steps. It purifies and sanctifies our souls and our bodies for the purpose of full and eternal enjoyment of God. I love that definition. For the full and eternal enjoyment of God. That's what the promise of the Holy Spirit was. And as the Holy Spirit came, that was part of so many leaders within the church, the early church. We're here today because of the power of the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they remained obedient and faithful, and so many others. And so Acts 2 is this moment that the church engine comes alive. It's that moment where the engine comes alive for the church, and the church comes forth, and so it goes forth. And so, like I said, there's a tension here. That same power that's available to them, we might not think is available to us. I don't have what it takes, or I'm not good enough. You ever feel like that? And many have, but it's that same power is available to you today. But the Holy Spirit was this. It was promised by Jesus for believers at this Pentecost moment in the church. And so the tension for it, we might not have an understanding of the Holy Spirit and what Pentecost is. Pentecost sounds like a type of churchy word that we might not have an understanding. And so, and I get that. When I went to Israel in 2005, I had the opportunity to kind of do the footsteps of Jesus. And then we did this one tour where we could see that there were two different locations they might think where the upper room was. I got to see the one where they said this might be, that was on the one side of the city, that this is the upper room. And I got to go in there and just imagine that wind, that fire, the Holy Spirit coming in there. And it was a kind of a tight room, you know, and just imagine the church, the birth of the church happened in another place. Then some say it might have happened right on the temple, the mount. That's another theory. But here's the thing I want you to hear. Don't get caught up in those details. I could go on and on about that. The Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit came, and the church was born, and the church went forth at Pentecost. When you think about Pentecost, you can see that slide. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. Those are the followers of Jesus and other followers that were there and present in that room. And it was described in the biblical book of Acts chapter 2, which is right after the Gospel of John. It's right there. And so it's described in Acts. And so the word Pentecost comes from the Greek Pentecoste, meaning 50th, meaning the 50 days after Easter. And so that's where we get the idea in the term Pentecost. But really, here's the thing. If we had a birthday cake, it would be like to celebrate the birth of the church. And we could sing, and we could, and some of them might need a gluten-free option. I get it. But there was the birth of the church. And that's what happened at Pentecost. And they began to preach publicly Once the Holy Spirit came upon them, they went out in power and began to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here's our big idea this morning as we go forward. Pentecost reveals that the church is empowered, say empowered, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's open or available to all people and is sustained by God's ongoing presence. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. If you've walked this Christian life or had a Christian journey, the importance of the Holy Spirit and the power that is there, it's such an important piece. It sustains you, and God's presence is with you. And so I want to encourage you today as we think about Pentecost and this Holy Spirit, this person of this Trinity. You know, the whole idea of the Godhead, Trinity, God three in one, they exist in community together, right? They're one, but they each have a function. But the power of the Holy Spirit matters. It matters for the believers. It matters for this church. And so I just pray that you would see that God wants to empower you, that it's available to you, and he wants you to be sustained because you, you know, there's times in our faith where we feel alone. That's the truth. But God is with us and he will sustain us. Amen. And so here's the first point I want us to think about, that the Holy Spirit empowers the church for what? For mission. For mission. And so the mission, if you remember back in Matthew 28, also known as the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, on that mountain, Jesus proclaims and says, go and preach the gospel and baptize them, teaching them everything. So he proclaims and gives them that mission to go forth. So they have the mission there. And then this is the time when they go forth. They have literally empowered to have the authority to go and do that. And so turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And we're going to start there. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so as the Holy Spirit came, as they were in this upper room and people were gathered and they were waiting and they were anticipating what Jesus had promised them, again, no stage, there was no strategy session or board meeting, there was no market planning or social media. It was just this early church, obedience, longing to be what God had for them. It was boldness and it was faith. Those were the ingredients that made up the early church. And they didn't have it all together. They were just willing and had faithfulness and boldness to receive this power and to receive this promise. And then what happens? Everything changes. Everything changes in that moment in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. What happens? This sound of a violent wind fills the room. And I remember standing in that room and just thinking what that would sound like. The acoustics in this one room were absolutely amazing. It says the house, it said tongues of fire rest on them. This tongues of fire, and some say that it represents or symbolizes this, when you think of the Spirit, the logo that first came up was a dove. That's one. Water is another one that signifies the Spirit. And then the other one is fire. And so this fire comes down and purifies them. And they began to speak in different languages and tongues and prayer. And they began to say that. But in the Bible, anytime we read about the word fire, it represents God's presence among his people. The pillar of fire in the desert. I actually have a picture of the tabernacle with the beam of God's presence with them, the pillar of fire with them. But it symbolizes what? It also symbolizes purification as well as that dunamis, explosive power and boldness that only comes through that promise of the Holy Spirit. And so they began to speak in other languages and tongues. This was not chaos. This was on purpose. They began to speak on purpose. And so God was in that moment, in that room with all those people there. He was equipping his people to be on mission to send out the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, to Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, and to the ends of the earth, as Acts 1:8 says. So what changed? What changed for them before that moment to now? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changed everything for them and for the church at that moment. And if you've been walking with Jesus long enough, you know that the Holy Spirit has changed and impacted and strengthened your faith at different times. The Spirit just did not encourage them, but it empowered them. It gave them the ability, the authority, the boldness, the courage. Those are things that where they were empowered at that moment. And so it's important for us to understand the church did not advance because of talent, right? There's a lot of talented people then. There's a lot of talented people in the room now. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just personalities. A lot of churches are built around the personality of their leadership. It wasn't that. And it wasn't even programs, which are important. But it was built, and they moved forward. The greater church moved forward because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon the church and those other early believers. And so I want to define for you what is empowerment. Let's think about the biblical understanding of empowerment. What does that type of word mean? And it means this. This is empowerment is the Holy Spirit enabling and strengthening believers to live, to serve, and to witness. To live, to serve, and to witness. And overcome through God's power rather than their own. And so that's what this empowerment means in the Bible. When we think about this is one of the functions of Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. It was to empower the church to go forward, to live in such a way that people could tell the difference between them and the other people. That there's a difference in them. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit moving and empowering them. They were doing things that nobody would want to do, like washing feet. Ew, gross, right? They were able to serve with that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They were able to be witnesses. They were able to be witnesses and demonstrate and proclaim the message of the gospel. Public speaking is one of the top three fears next to heights and maybe snakes, right? And so the Holy Spirit was enabled them to go forth and preach and proclaim the gospel. The Holy Spirit would help them say and form things to say that they did not know what they were saying, and God still used them anyway, right? And it's amazing. So he used them and empowered them and helped them overcome through God's power than their own. Don't you need God today in your life to overcome? We all do. We all need that overcoming presence of the Holy Spirit to overcome what we're facing. I don't know what you brought in here this morning. You know, I know I'm facing things in my own life. Choices, decisions, fears, doubts, anxieties. Anybody? Nobody? But it's the Holy Spirit that helps me overcome that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps me not just throw up my hands or just, you know, fall down like a wet washcloth. I can keep going because of the Holy Spirit has empowered me to go forward. I want to encourage you, church, this morning to ask God to empower you to move forward through what difficulties you're going through. That you'll ask the Holy Spirit to help you move forward through those doubts and those confusions and those anxieties. Because here's the great thing, God will do it. God will do it. He promises us he will do it. God will do it. And so that's what this idea of empowerment, as the Holy Spirit comes down and there's the disciples and the other followers, what this empowerment of the Holy Spirit helped their lives change. It was noticeable difference. That should be the same for us. They were able to serve. Don't you want to serve? Doug, we talked about coming up VBS, and we met as an elders and our core team, and we talked about different strategies, and like we're just praying for God to have the church be the church and serve on VBS. And it's going to be an amazing thing. And then there's this overcoming. The church has overcome a lot. Different name changes, different leadership, but it just keeps moving forward, not just here at Brighton Heights, but all across the church. And the church keeps moving forward, even when there's times are tough. And so empowered to live. I love that idea. The truth that comes, it's this holy living that we sang about today. This holy living and living our lives differently than the rest of the world. The language we use, the way we come across to people, that's empowered living. It's also called spiritual growth or maturity. That's what we're called to. And Paul in Ephesians 3:16 says this. He says he prays that each believer will be strengthened through the power of the Holy Spirit in their inner being. That's what he's praying for them. And so he's praying that. So God works within believers and able to live their lives and change them. He also empowers us to witness. Again, that Acts 1-8. I love the idea of a dartboard. Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, as Acts 1 says. And so that's the idea in Acts 1 that sets up Acts 2. that these are what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to think locally, but like around the world. How can we help others understand what it means to have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? And then the other thing was to serve. He gives each one of us, like you all have different fingerprints and different retinas in your eye. Those are unique to you and only you have them. But he's also given you unique abilities and a compassionate heart that was placed there by God, and it moves you through the Holy Spirit to use those gifts. He doesn't want you to just sit on those gifts. What does he want you to do? He wants you to use those gifts. And so you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do those things. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about that. Each one is given different spiritual gifts, but it's the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that empowers us to use them all. And so don't be afraid to use those gifts. There's a place for you. I always say this, is that when Wayne and Chris help people go through their BC 101 or Next Steps, you get to that final one and you kind of do a spiritual gifts inventory and you kind of discover what, you know, what gift you might have. And so the whole idea is to place you in a ministry that maybe you never thought that you had. And so that's the whole idea of using your gifts in order to serve. Why do we do this? We serve in order to build people up. There's some great encouragers in this church, some great encouragers in the church that have that ability and that gift of encouragement. And they're praying for people. Some have the gift and ability of praying for people. And so we're called to use each of those gifts by the power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Are you following with me? You think of a sailboat. There's an image of a boat that should be coming here. You think of that sailboat, and it's, you know, that thing is moving through the water. But if you think about what the boat is, has a strong structure. It perfectly shaped sails that it kind of are the thing that help it propel and go forward. Usually for a sailboat, you need someone with a little understanding and the knowledge of how to use that boat. But here's the thing. A sailboat, unless you have a motorized engine, which for this illustration, that doesn't, you need the wind. You need the power of the wind in order for that sailboat to go somewhere. And that boat, if it was just tied to the dock, couldn't go anywhere. And so in its own strength, it's useless, but it needs the power of the wind to fulfill its purpose and not being tied to the dock. And so once that thing's untied and empowered, it's going forth, and that's a good time. And so that's what Pentecost was. It was like that moment when the wind of heaven filled that room and filled their hearts and filled the sails of the disciples to go forth and do what they needed to do. And so here's the thing. Sometimes in the Christian life, and I recognize that, we try to live a life like that sailboat without the empowerment and the Holy Spirit in our lives. We try to do it in our own strength. Have you ever been frustrated? And usually when we're frustrated, it's because we're doing things in our own strength and not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so here's the thing, I want to encourage you. The same Holy Spirit that filled those disciples 2,000 plus years ago and the church was born is available to you today. Did you hear that? The same power that was in them is available for you today. And so I want to encourage you to think about that. Like, God, I need your power. Fill me, empower me. Like, open my mind and heart to what you have and draw me closer to you. And so Pentecost reveals something radical about what the church is for. Here's the second point. The same, point two is this, that the Holy Spirit opens the door to everybody. It opens the door to everybody. Have you ever been to a church where you walk around like, I'm not dressed properly? You ever feel like that? Or are you like, might not have it all together? And so that's the beautiful thing about God's grand design, is the Holy Spirit is available for everybody. It's open to everybody, not just the spiritually mystic and elite that might think they're out there. Right? It's available to everybody. It is available to everybody that is out there within the church, that comes in from all walks of life. It's available to everybody. Peter says, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, it says this. Peter replied, he's speaking to the people there that were present at Pentecost. He says this, he's preaching to them. He says these, he's kind of puts this out here. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And so the Holy Spirit is open to everybody. And so that's one of the things as a pastor I love seeing when people understand, like, the Trinity is three people, not just two, right? It's a tripod. You need that third part of the Trinity too. It's that power that's available to everybody. And so as Peter stands up, he preaches that. It says a couple thousand people came to know who God was, and they were saved. And so he gives them kind of like this kind of like, this is how you receive the Spirit. You repent, you acknowledge your sin, and you repent, like you're going this way with life, and you acknowledge that you're a sinner, you repent, and then you go back the other way. Then he says, be baptized. Baptism is that outward expression or sacrament of our inward faith, where the old person dies as they go underwater, and they come up a new living creation in God, and they're empowered by the Spirit to do that. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to sign up. It's an amazing, amazing moment in your life, and it marks your spiritual journey. We have that opportunity available for you if you want it. And then he says this, he says, receive the gift of the Spirit. And he asked them to have that kind of mind and that heart, and literally asking to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this promise was incredibly important. It was not just for those who had it all together, but it was for those who were far off, those who were on the fringe and desired it more. And so, in other words, the Holy Spirit wasn't just limited to a certain few kind of people that had it all together or hung out with Jesus, or there wasn't a membership card, but the Holy Spirit was available for everybody. And so this is the moment of inclusion. There's so many different moments where you see in the Bible that people were excluded. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, we have this Tower of Babel where languages divided the people and there was confusion. At Pentecost, it's different. At Pentecost, it was the moment where languages unite the people under the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit made that clear and empowered them to go forth. People from different nations came and heard the message for the first time in their own language. And if you know where Jerusalem is on a map, it's this kind of in the Mediterranean basin where people from all different roads of life would come. And they finally heard this message of the gospel going forth, that they were empowered from the Holy Spirit to be able to go forth and live their lives. And so that's what God is doing. He's declaring this message right now, this morning, for you, that the Holy Spirit is available to you. That recently, I guess, I received an invitation in the mail from a friend. His son's getting married. And have you ever looked at a mail and was like, is this really for me? Should I go? Who else is going? You have these different ideas. Maybe it was sent to me by mistake. Maybe there's another Ben Kendrew I found who's also a pastor in New Zealand. Wild, blows my mind. That's for a side, that's another time, right? But do you ever think, like, maybe I don't belong? Maybe it was meant for some other person. But here's the thing, as God sends his Holy Spirit, it was meant for you, that he includes you. He wants you to understand it's available to you. He wants to empower you in your faith. He wants to encourage you to keep going through your difficulties. And so I know there's people here that think they've sinned too much, that they've done too many things and they just can't receive it. But that's not true. You can't out-sin God. And he wants to give that grace, that grace and that gift of the person of the Holy Spirit to you. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us. It includes us. And the other thing it helps us to realize is that the Holy Spirit remains with us always. The Holy Spirit remains with us always. As we are following Christ and we kind of go through that process of becoming Christians, it's the Holy Spirit, understanding it's that promise of God's presence with us, how God is with us always. In John 14, 16 through 17, it says this, and I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking out to the disciples, it says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Say helper. Say it one more time. Just to make sure you're awake, okay? Someone who comes alongside. And so as Jesus, he's with his disciples, he's teaching them, and they're still like, they're just hanging on every word and still not getting it, right? He says, I'm promising you this helper who's going to come alongside with you to be with you forever. That's the promises of God. That's how much God loves you, that his presence is with you, that the Holy Spirit is inside you and with you, empowering you to go and live your life. It's not temporary. It is not occasional, But it's not because you might deserve it, right? But it's because God's great love, and it's the promise that Jesus said. And so because the Christian life is not about trying harder, it's not. We can keep trying and trying, and it's like a treadmill of life. It's exhausting, right? But the Christian life is about walking with a someone who is always present with us. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that I'm not alone. I could be alone physically in a room, but I know God is with me, right? And the Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit was in our worship this morning. You could feel it. He is with us. He's always promised with us. We might sometimes like fall and then we have to get back up. I know when Mel and I were teaching our kids how to ride a bike, it was a fun time. It really is. You ever had that experience? You're teaching your kid how to learn to ride a bike. You want the helmet on there and, you know, hoping they're not falling down. And you're holding them by the seat and you're holding one of the bars. And you kind of keep them doing that. And they try. And sometimes they do fall. Sometimes they do fall. But you help them get back up. And then there just comes to realize there's just boldness and courage that eventually you just kind of let go of that seat and they go forth, right? And I love that. And so that's what Jesus is saying about the Holy Spirit, is that you're not alone. I'm with you, and I'm going to provide that helper. But you still have that opportunity to go out and do things on mission for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's letting you go and say, go out and do the things I've called you to. So when you're facing those difficult things or those seasons of doubt or just difficult questions, you are not navigating. You're not going through those moments by yourself. God is with you. His Holy Spirit is with you. You're not just doing this. It isn't just God around you like a church, but it's God in you. It's the Holy Spirit within you who's empowering you to do the things he's called you to. And so Pentecost was not just a moment in history, but it was the beginning of a moment where something that happened 2,000 plus years ago can happen in your life today. It empowered the disciples. It opened the doors for them to go out and do all these different preaching and go out to the ends of the earth. And it was promised by Jesus. What an amazing concept to think about. That Jesus knew that we were going to need his help and his presence with us. That he knew he was going away. He knew he had to go to the cross. But he said, I'm promising you a helper that's going to come. And you are not by yourself. I'm going to let you go to continue to go out into the world. But you are not by yourself. And so Pentecost came down as a flame of fire on their heads. And that flame went down. That was the first flame that went forth. The question for us is that first flame at Pentecost was lit. It's still lit in us today. It's still lit into us today. And so the question is not whether Pentecost happened. The question is this: will you be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Or will you just kind of go through the motions this morning? Will you believe that this is a promise for you from Jesus himself? Will you walk daily in your faith as you leave this building from Monday to Saturday? Will you understand that God is with you, that the Holy Spirit indwells in you, and you're empowered to continue to persevere through the difficulties and the joys that you experience? The church was never meant to just be an organization, right? But it was meant to be the church. It was meant to be a body of believers that are spirit-filled. That's what it was meant to be, just not just programs or an organization, but it was meant to be the church, empowered by the gospel of the Holy Spirit. It was meant to be alive, empowered. It was meant to be sent, and it was meant to understand that the Holy Spirit that was then is alive in us today. And so we need to believe and act like it. And so here's the thing. I just want to ask, to kind of close with this question: how do you get empowered? How do we get empowered? How do we do that? Well, Luke 11:13 says this. Luke 11:13 says this. So if you sinful people, that's not judgmental. That's just kind of describing the condition, the human condition, right? So if you sinful people know you have to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so we understand what God is like. It's one of the great questions you should be asking. Who is God and what is he like? God is a good Father. That he loves his children, he loves his sons, he loves his daughters, and he wants us to ask. When my kids ask me, even today, they're adult kids, they'll ask me for, hey, Dad, will you go to the store and get me some pretzels? Guess where I'm going? I'm going to the store and getting pretzels for my son. If my daughter says that like she wants these, she likes these different type of, the different fruits, different type of apples, Honeycrisp, that's what it was, Honeycrisp apples. I'm going to the store and getting Honeycrisp apples for my daughter. God is the same thing. If we ask, church, if we ask him for the Holy Spirit, if we ask to be empowered, guess what? He's going to do it. You can take it. It's a promise you can stand on. And so here's the thing. To be empowered, we just need to ask, God, will you empower me this morning? Will you empower me with your Holy Spirit? Will I have my hands open like this? God, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. And I want to receive your Holy Spirit. Fill me this morning. Here's the other thing. He says this. Jesus says you need to believe. Not just think about it or know about it. But belief and faith are when your heart and head connect. He wants you to believe and put it into action. So ask and believe with all that you are who God says he is. He's a good father and gives gracious gifts to his children. And here's the other thing. Once he gives us this gift, he's handing it to us. We need to receive it and say, I'm not good enough. Or put our hands up and like, hesitation. But we need to receive that. Say, God, I am yours. I'm broken, I need you. Will we receive him this morning? Will we just continue to kind of go through the motions and not feel the empowerment that we're meant to be? That's the beautiful thing about Pentecost, is that everyone in that room received that. We're here today because of their faithfulness. We're here today because of the promise of Jesus. And they were the church then, and we need to be the church now. We need to be the church now and move forward and repent and believe and ask to be saved. God will do it. He's a good father. He loves us. And so the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is a reminder of the birth of the church. It's a reminder that the helper was sent, but we just have to receive it in our lives. And so I want to invite you to stand. And I'm going to ask, I know there are not a lot of people here today, Memorial Day, but I'm happy you're here today. But if you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit and just say, Lord, would you empower me? What I want you right where you are, right where you are, I want you to hold your hands out like this. Arms to your side, palms up as you're receiving. And say, Father, I want to receive the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want you to do that. I want you to pray right where you are, just between you and God. Just take a moment and say, God, empower me. Father, I just pray right now for those with hands open, even those that didn't do it, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come down, come upon us, that you'd fill us and empower us, Lord. We need you. Like a child reaching up to their father, we know that you are good. And we recognize that we need your helper, the Holy Spirit, in our lives to do the things that we can't do on our own, but you give us that empowerment of the Holy Spirit to move forward. Will you help those with hands up, Lord, that we commit our lives and we want to receive your Spirit. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill this church with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to be empowered, to be on mission, to do the things you've called us to. And so, Father, I just pray right now that people would know that this is open to everybody, not just some. This is open to everybody. This is open from those that don't know you to those that do. And those of you who might not know Jesus, this is an opportunity right now with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to give you the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to raise your hand real high. Amen. And so, Father, I just pray right now that we would continue to walk in alignment with you and in step with your Holy Spirit, that we would be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would continue to move forward as a church and as individuals and as families by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Strengthen us as a family. Call us and help and open our eyes to the things you want us to do, to use the gifts that you've given each one of us. And so, Father, we love you in this place. We thank you for Pentecost, but Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your love, and your grace, and your mercy in our lives. Thank you for that promise of the Helper, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.